Yes, indeed. I am joined once again by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions this Saturday morning. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny.
Well, I hear you. You're way in the background there. I know you're there.
I know. Why am I way in the background? I'm all plugged in just fine here.
Yeah, you got to turn it way up, Dennis tells me. Turn whatever you can way up. And maybe we'll do it. In the meantime, while you're doing that, Teresa, adjusting your volume, let me give the phone number, which is also the text number. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. Call or text 651-461-9226. Especially when we're looking at a forecast of 75 and sunshine today, maybe raining tomorrow or on Mother's Day. All right, Teresa, are we ready to go?
Are we ready to go?
You're way back there.
Why? How can I be way back there?
I'm not sure.
Guys, is this any better? Nope, that's not any better, huh?
Not really. But let's do this.
Better? Is this any better?
No. There's nothing like live radio.
Wow. I'll tell you.
Son of a gun.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. We're getting
how
text.
How does this sound?
It sounds the same. It sounds the same. So I would
call back.
Yeah. You grab the phone and let's go that way.
Go on the phone. Okay.
Yep. Let's do that. In the meantime, we'll be waiting for your questions. We're getting a bunch already. Got some interesting ones as well. Now if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that we get tons of questions, so I don't want to cut it short here. So if you do have a lawn or garden question, don't wait. Again, either call it or text it.
Okay.
I'm not sure where we are here.
All right. Is that good?
There you go. All right. Now we're on. Now, as they say, I'm reading you five by five.
That was weird.
I do hear an echo, so I'm not sure if you have some kind of a headphone issue as well.
Maybe that's gone now. How's that?
Okay. That's
there
good.
Go.
All right. Excellent.
Like you
all
said,
right.
Radio, live.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, here's something. A text came in a bit ago, and you'll have to help me with this thing. It says, how can I stop squill from spreading through my yard? It is very, very deeply rooted. What is squill?
Squill. Okay, that's a really good question because I've just recently found out that beautiful blue plant called squill, it's a small little bulb that's blooming now in yards, and that is called invasive. It's now an invasive plant in Minnesota. So you can dig it up, or you can just pull it up. Another thing, if you want to leave it in your yard, if your yard is located in an area that's nowhere near a wooded area, nowhere near a wild area, you don't have to remove it if it's in your yard. If your yard is located near any woodlands or any wild areas or protected areas, please do remove it. Otherwise, you can also just mow it down as soon or just as it finishes flowering or even just as it's nearing the end of flowering, just so it doesn't go to seed. It does seed very easily, and we're finding that it's encroaching in a lot of areas. So we just don't want it to take over.
So it's invasive now.
It's invasive now, yep.
All right, let's grab a phone call. I believe Gary's first up here, calling in from St. Louis Park. Gary, you're on CCO with Teresa Rooney.
Hi, good morning, Denny. Good morning, Teresa. Teresa, is it too early for me to start pruning my yews yet, or should I wait a little bit, a while longer yet for that?
Gary, you could trim them now. It's best if you could wait. Mine's already started to set some new growth, so that means I can trim it. So if yours has started to set some new growth and started to bud out a little bit to have the little green at the ends, you can go ahead and trim it. Yews are really easy to trim. So, yep, you can go ahead and trim that, Gary.
You used the word invasive a minute ago, and I'm looking at a text message, Teresa. It says, I've been researching, texter says, buckthorn, and it says that they poison the soil like a walnut tree. How long does it stay in the soil, if you know, after you remove the plant? Have you heard of that as far as poisoning
yes,
the soil?
Yes, it's allelopathic, which means a lot of plants are like this when they're in a seed form. Almost all plants have a little bit of this. It protects it so that little seed can sprout and not be encroached on by other seeds. So all plants have it. But unfortunately, some plants like walnuts and the buckthorn, they have a lot more, and it stays in their system the entire life of the plant, which really then kills off plants around it, so it has a better chance to spread. So you want to think, how long is that stuff going to stay in the soil? Well, it depends on the soil, of course. If the soil is a really heavy clay, it's going to hold on to that longer. If it's a real sandy soil, it will wash out longer. But as long as there's roots and there's stems and there's seeds in the soil, all of those are going to be continually leaching the chemicals that will impact other plants. So if you're cutting down buckthorn, it's not as bad. It's not as bad as jugglone for other plants, but it will hinder other plants. So try to remove as much as you can, and then just do your best. And when you plant plants in that area, add a lot of compost in when you're planting. It helps just kind of thin it out a little bit, so there's more compost and less of the original soil, or less of the original poisons. You know, it could be anywhere from, 3 years to five to, you don't really know how big those roots are and how long it takes them to decompose.
Yeah, and they're tough to kill, too, it seems.
They're tough to kill.
Yeah.
They have good root systems. They're very strong plants. So, yeah, they can be tough to kill. And you also, if you've had buckthorn in your yard or in your area, the seeds, strong plants. So, yeah, they can be tough to kill. And you also, if you've had buckthorn in your yard or in your area, the seeds are there. And so every time you move the soil, you can be bringing up those seeds close to the surface, where then they'll sprout, and you'll have more buckthorn. So you just have to be careful of not moving your soil and tilling it up so much.
Pretty pervasive.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I know we have to break here momentarily. Here's one of Texas that bought a peony bare root. When and how can I plant it?
Plant it as soon as you can dig in your soil. That could be now if you're up north and you have snow. You'll have to wait a little while. But if you can dig in your soil, go ahead and plant it now. Make sure that the eyes, the little red, they look like little red pokey things, I want to say, little red sprouts. You want those just at or below the surface of the soil, no more than an inch deep. And just give it a good amendment of compost when you plant it. Water it in really well. And understand your peony would like to live where you plant it forever and ever. So make sure it's a really sunny location when planting peony.
Very good. I want to alert John. You're going to be first up here on the phone. We have more text messages on our Smart Garden Show. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, call it in or text it in. 651-461-9226 is the number. 55 degrees in the Twin Cities. Don't forget, Mother's Day is tomorrow. We're going to take this break, and we'll have a look at that warm forecast, too, coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Denny Long here for Malmberg's Garden Center. Yeah, I know you've heard that name for a long time here at CCO Land Company. Been around since 1958. Two locations in Blaine and Rogers. People love to visit Malmberg's Garden Center. Thousands of plants locally grown in their greenhouses. Now, maybe you're looking for some trees, maybe some shrubs, maybe annuals, certainly perennials, and garden supplies. Any kind of gardening supplies you need, you're going to find them at Malmberg's. I want to make special mention that we mentioned that it's Mother's Day tomorrow. There's a Mother's Day special going on tomorrow. Now, if you can't make it this weekend, the Mother's Day sale does go on until May 11th. Now, what does it include? 20% off select items. Like, think about this, great gifts here from Mom. Wind chimes, estuary, decorative stakes, solar decor, garden hats. Hats, protect yourself from the sun, gloves, things like that. Two locations, again, in Blaine and Rogers. You need expert advice in gardening, you're going to find it at Malmberg's Garden Center. These folks are great at helping new gardeners getting started. Get on the web, malmbergsinc.com, but check out their two locations. Blaine and Rogers, Minnesota, Malmberg's Garden Center. Good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday on the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text at 651 416-461-9226. Well, Teresa, as usual, we have callers and we have texters to keep you working here. Let's see. We promised John in Menominee. John would be first. Thanks for waiting, John. What's your question for Teresa?
Yes, we transplanted an autumn blaze tree from a nursery this past week with the tree mover. It's about 2 to 3 inch diameter trunk and about 14 feet tall. Just wondering about the watering schedule for the tree.
Okay, you'll want to keep watering that. Probably consider it a baby tree for you for about like 2 to 5 years. So this is going to be the bigger the tree that you plant, the longer you have to baby it. So consider you're going to have to baby it for 2 to 5 years. And you'll want to give it about an inch of water a week. I would put one of those gator bags on it and fill it up and let that water. And then when it's empty, fill it up again. That would be the easiest thing to do. Make sure then that you're not mowing too close to it because you don't want to damage the roots and the trunk at all. And if you haven't mulched it already, make sure you've put mulch around the root area and right up to the trunk, leave a good 2 to 3 inches bare soil so the mulch isn't touching the soil. You can even pull the mulch a little further back than that. Good luck, John, with your new autumn blaze maple. I hope you enjoy it.
Very good. This listener says this via text, Teresa. We have a large blue spruce. Under the tree is a lot of creeping charlie and now small buckthorn. If we spray the area with killer, will it kill the spruce? Or what can we use to get rid of the weeds and plant grass seed? Now, that's going to be kind of tough to grow grass under that, right?
That's going to be really tough to grow grass, which is why creeping charlie is there and why buckthorn is there. They must have limbed it up a little bit, so there must be enough light getting in there. I would pull whatever you can out of there, and then if you need to use a brush killer, read the instructions for the creeping charlie. You'll just have to pull it. That's probably the easiest way. And the buckthorn, if you can pull it while it's young, that would be the easiest thing to do too. A manual removal would be the best. If you do have to use a chemical, make sure that buckthorn and or creeping charlie is listed on that herbicide that you're using and that it says you can use it over tree roots. That's going to be the most important thing. And then what I would do is I would paint it on, or I would be very careful because if you spray the chemical, it could waft up into the tree and then settle on your spruce, and you definitely don't want to kill the spruce. So I would manually remove it, and then I would just really just put like pine bark or mulch under there and not try to grow grass under it out until the drip line, and then grow beautiful grass out until the drip line. It'll look really better if you just have the pretty grass on the outside and then just the mulch, the combination of two, rather than trying to grow mulch under that or trying to grow grass under that spruce, and it's going to look bad and it's going to fight with it all the time. And you've got better things to do with your time. So that's how I would handle it in this situation.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Teresa, not a lawn or garden question, but does Teresa know, this texter says, if we can start feeding the birds again?
You know, I don't think they've let that up yet. And this is in regards to the avian bird flu.
Right.
That's hitting our poultry population. It's really hard. I don't think they have let that up yet. I believe we are still in that issue going on with avian flu. So I would just hold off if you can, or if you're going to feed that, make sure the feeders are far apart so you're not attracting a whole bunch of birds to one area. You know, have multiple feeders far away in your yard. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just kind of sad because you don't want that in the bird population, if possible.
Sure, sure.
What we're trying to do is not to have birds congregate. So we don't want birds all together. So we're trying to have them social distance is what we're trying
sure,
to do.
Sure, yeah,
wildlife.
That's actually what it is.
So that's what we're trying to do. So we're just trying to keep that population as healthy as we possibly can. And in the wild, birds don't all congregate together like that normally. At this time, they're building their nest, they're getting their food. So what you can be doing is planting food, your vegetables, and let the birds take care of the slugs and the grubs for you. Those little caterpillars are really high in nutrients for the birds. So you see caterpillars, leave them alone, and hopefully the bird population will take care of them.
Okay. This texter says this, Teresa: what, if anything, should I do about a very large ant mound in my garden?
You have some choices there. The ant mound is there because you've cleared off a nice area for it. That was very nice of you. You've made it's like in real estate, location, location, location. You've made it a perfect location. The soil's nice and fluffy. The ants can build there easily. It's kind of dry usually, so it's not super wet, and they're not competing with a lot of other plants and things. So you've made it really good. So you have some options. You can just leave it. Or you can get rid of the ant mound. You can use chemicals. You can just physically destroy it and maybe just use a lot of extra water in that area for a little while. Understand, though, what you're seeing above ground is maybe one-tenth of what's actually happening underground. So you may destroy the top part and knock it down and not see any ants for a while. Then, you know, 2-3 weeks later or a month later, all of a sudden the ants seem to be back again, and you'll just be scratching your head. Well, that's because they were all down below. And you just destroyed the first floor. You didn't take out the basement, the sub-basement, and the sub-sub-sub-basement. So that's an option there. Just trying to make it less attractive to ants, a little wetter, plant a little more thickly. Understand, if you're out there, they're probably going to be mad and bite you. So you could have some ant issues when you're kneeling in the garden and stuff like that. So good luck with that.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break and have a look at that warm forecast. That's straight ahead here. We have about another half hour of the show to go, our Smart Garden Show. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, just call or text Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. One number to remember, 651-461-9226. Denny Long here on a Saturday morning on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions, and we have many, as usual. Here's the phone number. It's also the text number, 651-461-9226. Okay, Teresa, where do we begin? How about right here? Our Kentucky bluegrass does not grow well on our fence shade, and we're looking for options. Can we add clover or another soft cover, do you think?
The clover would probably prefer a little more sun also, but you could start interplanting that with the short fescues, the little short hard fescues. They would be a great option, and you can just overseed with fescue or a shady grass mix. And that will help thicken that up a little bit. It'll look a little bit different than the Kentucky bluegrass, but fescue can take a little bit of shade. It doesn't need as much fertilizing. It doesn't need as much water. So you'll probably be happier. It'll still be a grassy cover. And then if you want, you can also consider other low-growing plants if you want to even just remove the grass and plant something else there, like a low-ground cover that does well in shade. And you could find information of that on extension.edu.com. That would work for you.
You know, again, I mentioned that again. I'm glad you brought it up, Teresa, because not only is there great information on all sorts of subjects, but if you like taking care of your lawn and want to get a real succinct idea of what you should be doing, when you should be doing these things, yeah, get on the Extension website, extension.umn.edu.
And you know what else? They actually have a special UMN turf grass area where you can get a weekly newsletter about turf grass.
Now we're talking.
If you are really into lawns, you can get it straight from this source, and you can get a newsletter sent to you.
Excellent. We'll mention that again before you leave us today, Teresa. That's a great idea. Here, speaking of lawns, good morning. This texter says, is it too early to fertilize my lawn?
If your lawn is up and growing, you can go ahead and fertilize it.
And another fertilization question. Please describe the best way to fertilize established hostas.
You know, normally hostas and your established plants don't need a lot of fertilizer. A light top dressing with compost is always appreciated by most of these plants. Their prairie plants don't even need that. But a hosta, you could just top dress with a little compost, or if you just want to put down a little granular fertilizer first thing in the spring, as soon as you see them up and growing, they'd be happy with that. The compost will help to make the soil better and make the whole soil system better. The fertilizer is just like a quick meal for them that feeds them for the month. They'll be fine with just that. Just one time would be just fine, unless you're finding that your hostas are really struggling. Then I would definitely add a compost and maybe the fertilizer also.
Okay. If you have a lawn or garden question, you want to chat with Teresa, same number, 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call from Sandy calling in from Eden Prairie this morning. Sandy, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Thank you. I would like to know when I should plant some annuals and perennials I just bought on Thursday.
Okay. So are you local? And you said you're local, right? Okay.
Yes.
So which annuals are we talking about?
Marigolds, alyssum, and pansies.
Okay. All of those can grow in the go in the ground now as soon as you can work your soil, and so can all of your perennials. So your perennials you can get in right away, Sandy. You can put your annuals in right away. If, however, you're growing anything like tomatoes or peppers or squashes, those it's way too early to plant yet. But everything else you should be able to get in the ground now, especially your perennials. If your local garden centers are selling them, they should be aware that you can plant them. So you should be able to plant them just fine. Good luck with all those, Sandy. That sounds exciting.
Very good. Thanks for the call. And that number, again, 651-461-9226. You can also send a text, too, if that's easier. Speaking of text messages, here's another one. What do I need to do to keep my apple trees from getting bugs and destroying the apples year after year?
Okay, first of all, you have to figure out what kind of apple problems you're having. The easiest thing to do would be to bag your apples. So as soon as you start seeing the little apples and you thin them out, so you just have like one apple every 6 inches or one apple every foot, that means your tree won't be overloaded. Then you can bag them. You can use a little Ziploc bag with the two corners cut off. You just put it around each apple, staple it, close it, and then staple it shut. That'll prevent a lot of the ones. If you do it very early, you'll be preventing your plum curculio. I have a hard time saying that one, and other ones. You can bag them. You can put little footies over them. I'm going to try that with some of my fruit this year, just little footies that you would wear on your feet. You could use that. Otherwise, if you know which insects you're having a problem with, then you can find a fruit tree spray and spray according to the schedule on the label. It really depends what insect problems you're having. But if you do the mechanical barriers, you can just do it one time. Your tree will look kind of goofy. Your neighbors will think you're doing something really goofy in your yard with your tree, but you'll have beautiful apples. And you won't have to worry about spraying or anything. But if you do want to use a chemical, then you have to figure out which insects you had a problem with and then do the schedule according to the label on the product that you're getting. And then remember, always clean up the fallen fruit. So when you get that June and July fruit, that windfall that falls on the ground as the tree aborts some of the flowers or some of the apples, clean those up. That could be a place where insects are starting to come in. You just want to clean it up, toss it in your compost bin or whatever you want to do with it. Good luck with your apple trees.
As you know, Teresa, we have the smartest listeners, the most knowledgeable. We really do. And we had a question about feeding the birds a bit ago. And
yes.
We received a text from a listener who says, the Raptor Center now says there is not evidence of songbird spreading flu, so feed them. So if that's true.
Okay, then.
Go
that's
for
good.
It.
I will check on that. And yes, that sounds wonderful. Then if that's what the Raptor Center says, I'd go ahead and do it then. Go ahead and feed the birds. Good, because I want to put out my Oriole feeder. I'm trying something new this year.
Oh, excellent. Let's and good luck with that. Let's grab another phone call, Teresa. Donna, I think, is calling in from Clara City. Donna, thanks for calling. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. Question. I had two trees taken out, a walnut and a butternut, and my grinder guy came and took all the roots and everything out. Can I push the dirt and the shavings
one. Are you going to plant grass over that? Is that what you're planning?
Yes, planning to reseed it to grass.
Okay, so go ahead and do that. Watch your grass carefully because there'll be a lot of wood shavings still in there. And as they're covered with the dirt, they start to decompose. And as they decompose, they can pull nitrogen from the soil. And then since there's so many of them, eventually that nitrogen is released and you could get a nitrogen burn. So your grass may be yellow and then it may be over nitrogen, over fertilized for a minute. So you want to watch for that. Also, remember that the butternut and the walnut both have the juglone in them, so it's going to be hard to grow other things that are susceptible to that. But grass is not a problem. You should be able to do that just fine. I would go ahead add some compost as much as you can, and then go ahead and plant your grass. Good luck with that.
Okay. This listener via text will want you to speak a little bit about prickly ash, how best to remove it, and what time is the best to do that.
Not exactly sure the best time. The best time would be whenever you can get to it. And I would just, cut it. If it's really big, if you can pull it, that would be good. If you can't pull it and you can just have to cut it at the roots, then I would paint. Or cut it at the roots, cut it at the soil level, and then I would paint that with a brush killer, that open wound as soon as you cut, then paint it. And if you want to, just treat it like a buckthorn. So if you're not quite sure how you want to remove it, look at buckthorn removal. It's not invasive as buckthorn is. It's not as bad, but it will give you the same kind of ideas what you can use. Cut it to the ground, put a can over it so any sprouts that come up right next to the stem you've cut, the trunk you've cut, come up under the can and can't photosynthesize. And just know that it's a procedure, and you'll just probably have to be working on it for a little while, but it's probably a lot easier to remove than buckthorn, actually. Good luck with your prickly ash.
Okay. Let's take a phone call. I think Marie is hanging on the line, calling it from St. Paul this morning. Marie, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Teresa, Marie?
Yes, good morning. The question I have is, we have a maple tree on the boulevard, and we've been noticing that the tips of the branches that have the buds on them that are just starting to come out have been eaten off by squirrels. And they're cut off, you can tell, because they're cut off at an angle. And they're, the little twigs, the branches, and they're all over the grass. And I, from week to week, I rake and I sweep, and it just continues. So
it does. Squirrels, I like that. Squirrels, their teeth keep growing all the time, so they have to keep gnawing all the time. So that's one of the reasons they do that. They also may be testing those branches to see if they're anything good to eat, because sometimes there's a little moisture in there. Sometimes they like the flavor of it. I mean, we like maple syrup. Maybe that's part of it. Also, because squirrels use trees as runways, they like to keep those runways clean. So when you sweep your sidewalk, they're basically sweeping their runway. They're cleaning off all those little things that are getting in their way as they're running across the branches. We find that squirrels do this a lot. A lot of times, probably in June or July, all of a sudden your tree will be dropping all of these little branches with leaves on them. It's the squirrels just cleaning up the tree. There's nothing you can really do. It's just what squirrels do and what they do to trees. It just is what it is. They probably will not damage the tree at all, because it's a big tree. It's out on the boulevard. It's fine. It's done this for years. It could just be that this time maybe you have a little more active squirrels and they're being a little more tidy in their tree keeping.
Very good. Let us take a quick break, Teresa, and we have more show to come here in our Smart Garden Show. In the Twin Cities right now, I can tell you we have 55 degrees. We are on our way to 75, and maybe on Thursday we could reach 89 degrees. Stay with us in News Talk 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, back from Malmberg's Garden Center. Okay, let me talk about Malmberg's Garden Center. They've been around since 1958. I know you've heard that name for years here on CSER. Two locations, actually, in Blaine and in Rogers. I want to talk specifically about Mother's Day. That's tomorrow. And at Malmberg's, they have a Mother's Day special. It's going on now. If you can't make it this weekend, but they got some great ideas for Mother's Day. That sale does go until May 11th. What do you get? 20% off select items like wind chimes, decorative stakes. What else can I think of? Solar decor, garden hats, gloves, things like that. Great Mother's Day gifts. Two locations, as they said, Blaine and in Rogers. Thousands of plants locally grown in their greenhouses. Trees or shrubs or annuals, perennials, gardening supplies if you're in the market for that. And they are great at helping new gardeners get started. Get on the web. Check it out for yourself, MalmbergsInc.com. Better yet, visit, especially for Mother's Day. Malmberg's Garden Center in Blaine and in Rogers. And a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions on this Smart Garden Show. A couple of questions, actually, that are the same. I know you're going to get a good take on this. But let me ask you this first question. Texter says, when should I trim back woody stems from hydrangeas?
It depends on the hydrangea. Some hydrangeas set their buds last year in August, and some will set their flower buds this year on new wood. So you need to know which hydrangea you're pruning back. I would definitely go to the Extension website, extension.uman.edu, and check on which hydrangea so you know when to prune it. If it's dead, you can prune the dead stems whenever you see them. That's okay.
Okay.
Or if you don't care about flowers, you can prune it to shape, and that doesn't matter. You can do that now.
Oh, if that's how you feel. All right.
If that's how you feel.
Yeah. Now, I know what you're going to say because you don't have to worry about mowing, but some listeners want your thoughts on no-mow May, and is no-mow May a good idea, another one says.
I love no-mow May. Yes, it's a wonderful idea. It just allows the grass to grow a little higher. You don't have to mow in May. And if you've got some plants out there that are good for pollinators, they can actually be flowering. No-mow May is wonderful. And if you don't want to admit it, but in reality you're a lazier mower, that's a nice thing too. So you don't have to mow in May. I love the idea of no mow May. It's wonderful.
All right, because for those that are new listeners, you don't mow anyway, right?
I don't mow anyway. I have a small yard with no turf. I do have some ornamental grasses, but I do have mostly trees and shrubs and a permaculture-ish kind of food forest. Nature kind of garden.
Yeah, sounds neat.
Yeah.
All right. Another listener says this, Teresa, when planted asparagus last year, the trench only got half filled in. Can I fill it in to level now? I have seen only one leaf above ground so far out of five plants.
I'd probably let it come up a little bit, let them grow a little bit, and then just backfill slowly. Yes, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Good luck with your asparagus. And remember, you still have to wait till even next year to try any.
Oh, okay.
You got to be really patient.
Patience, yes. Patience. What sort of ground cover, this listener wants to know, or cover crop would you suggest to plant amidst raspberry bushes to prevent extensive weed growth?
You could try clover in there. It would help to feed the plants, to feed the that's probably the easiest thing I do. A lot of the other ground covers I think might be a little too aggressive and take out too much. The raspberries are really heavy feeders. I would probably try something like a clover.
Okay. Another U question, Taunton U's specifically, are encroaching on my sidewalk. When and how far back can I prune these?
You can prune them pretty far back. There may be growing points further back that once the sunlight hits them, they will become activated, and then they can start growing. So you could just, they ewes take to shearing very well, so that might help too. And if possible, you may want to consider, do you want to move the plant? Because they're going to keep growing forever, and you're going to have this site forever. So it sounds like might not be the right plant in the right place. If you can't figure out how to prune them where maybe they're going to get really tall and then they can make an arch over your sidewalk, that could be an option if they're going to get tall enough. But if you're trying to keep them at a lower height and a smaller size on one side, they're going to look a little goofy after a while. So you may just want to move them either further away from the sidewalk or to a different location in your yard and plant something else next to the sidewalk that you can keep, that is a better fit for that area. Right plant, right place is always the easiest thing to do.
All right, Teresa, less than 2 minutes to go. Let's do a little lightning round question here. My flower garden soil is hard. Should I add peat moss versus compost to that soil?
Compost.
You like that. Can I trim my limelight hydrangea now?
You could if you need to. Go ahead and trim it.
Okay, and let's do one more here. Help, the deer ate all of my tulip tops in a new bed. Can I dig up the bulbs and move them successfully? And when do I do this?
I would probably wait to move them till they're starting to die down just a little bit, where you can still see the foliage, but the foliage hasn't died down. So this way they can at least photosynthesize. And before you ask any other questions, remember the Master Gardener Plant Sale is next Saturday for Hennepin County, the following Saturday for Ramsey County.
Now, where is that now going to be?
The Hennepin County is in Hopkins, and I'm not sure where the Ramsey one is. It's a church, but I didn't recognize it and didn't write it down.
Okay, can you find?
I'm
can you go
to Hennepin County.
All right, there you go. And again, for a lot of great advice on green and growing things, whether you want to get your lawn in shape, just check out this great website, great reading, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your
My
help.
My pleasure.
Your expertise.
Happy Mom's Day to everybody out there.
Excellent. Thank you. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on 830 WCCU. Now, just a reminder to get those home improvement questions ready. That's what's coming up next hour here on CCU. And enjoy the day, too. And don't forget, Mom, tomorrow we expect sunshine with highs near 75 today. Maybe a windy Mother's Day tomorrow. Stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO.